Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Thursday, March 15th, 2018. It is the Ides of March. Isn't that interesting? That expression refers to the Roman calendar, and the Ides were technically the very middle point of the month, which is why the 15th and the 31-day month would be considered to be the center of the month. It's also famous as the day of the death of Julius Caesar, but it's kind of fun to be able to just say, you know, today is the Ides of March. I don't know whether we need to beware them or not, but seems like a pretty good day to me. We have today 21 vessels on our Columbia River ship schedule for the day, 4 inbounders, 9 in the Astoria Anchorage, and including the Rice Island Anchorage, and the 8 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. In our marine weather forecast, we have combined seas 5 feet today on the Columbia River Bar. They'll temporarily build to 8 or 9 feet during those max ebb current times, one happening around 4:30 this morning and another around 4:45 this afternoon. And today, overall, in our marine weather forecast, we have southeast winds 10 to 15 knots gusting to 20. Wind waves from the southeast, 4 feet high at about 5 seconds apart. Westerly swells, 5 feet at 10 seconds. So we have those winds from the southeast and west swells, they're kind of almost coming at each other from opposite directions. That could create that phenomenon that we called confused seas, or that kind of washing machine effect where forces are just going against one another and it creates kind of a sloppy effect out there at times on the water. We have showers in the forecast today and a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. And today I'm going to be talking about referring a little bit to something I'm going to do later this morning, which at 10 o'clock I will be the speaker at the Oysterville Schoolhouse Lecture Series in Oysterville. That's at 3322 School Road in Oysterville. I'll be talking about the river. I was invited to be part of this lecture series, and the overall topic is the Columbia River. So I'll be talking about some things that I've learned about the river in the course of doing the Ship Report for 15 years. And it was really fun to put this talk together because I got to think about and look up some things that I hadn't thought about in a while. So I thought I'd share some of that information with you. If you happen to be in the Oysterville area, it's up on the Long Beach Peninsula, about an hour from Astoria. Come on down to the schoolhouse there, and I'd love to see you. And every once in a while, someone will ask me to come and give a talk about the Ship Report, and I'm always happy to do that because it just gives me more of an opportunity to talk about something that I love. So at any rate, let's talk about today's ship schedule, something that I do love in particular. This morning, our first inbounder is the Mendocino, arriving from China. She'll be in the Astoria Anchorage after that, so maybe arriving there early this morning, maybe about 5:30 or so she was there. She'll be heading upriver eventually to pick up wheat. The Sea Neptune is arriving from China maybe around 10 o'clock this morning in passing Astoria. She's heading up to Kalama, though. She's a wheat ship, so about 5 hours later she'll be there after she passes Astoria. The Luna Spirit is arriving from Vancouver, B.C. She's headed for Portland, the port of Portland, to a berth that handles cars. So she has brand new Hondas on board. So she is a very high-sided, blocky-looking vessel, a specially designed ship to carry automobiles. The Pipit Arrow is next inbound. She's a bulk carrier. She's arriving from offshore, headed for Portland. Not sure what her cargo is there. She could be picking up soda ash. She's going to the port of Portland, and she's looks like a dry bulk carrier. Let's see. We have the Genco, and this is in the Astoria Anchorage now, the ships that you will see waiting at anchor off the downtown waterfront in Astoria. The first one is the Genco Knight. She's headed up to Kalama around 6 p.m. today. So we're going to see our first ships that are leaving the anchorage. Well, she's the only one that's leaving. The rest are all awaiting orders. But she won't even leave until 6 p.m., so she'll be out there all day if you want to take a look at her. She's going to be picking up corn, soy, or wheat at Kalama, or some combination of the three. All of our other ships are awaiting orders. The Easter N, the Nord Pluto, the Paniota K, the Bulk Peru, the Gracia Universalis, the FD Vittoria Raiola, the Energy G, and the Spring Progress. All those ships are awaiting orders. Two of them, the last two, are at the Rice Island Anchorage, which is a little bit upriver from Astoria on the Washington side, but you can still see it from Astoria. In our outbounders, the Elpidager is leaving the Elpida GR. Am I pronouncing that incorrectly? At any rate, she's out there. She's going to be heading downriver from Vancouver with wheat on board around early in the morning. So she could pass Astoria as early as, say, 8 or 9 this morning. She's got wheat on board heading out of Vancouver. The ATB rig, the Sound Reliance, is leaving Portland. She's got petroleum in that barge. She has an articulated tug and barge rig is what ATB stands for. So it's a tug and a barge attached together with a hydraulic pin assembly. Looks a little bit like a kind of an odd-looking ship, but if you look closely, you'll see that tug and barge. The Global Garland is a bulk carrier heading out of the port of Vancouver with bentonite clay on board. You know what I'm going to say next if you listen. It's a kitty litter ship, but, you know, to be fair, bentonite clay is used for lots of things. It's really good at absorbing liquids and pulling liquids out of things. It's even used, as I've said, to clarify red wine, to get sediment out of wine. But one of its funnest to say uses is kitty litter, so I always take that opportunity. She's heading out of Vancouver around 5 p.m. That would put her past Astoria outbound around 11 p.m. The Seven Seas Highway, another car carrier, you can tell by that word highway in her name. Toyota's on board, heading out of the Port of Portland around 5 p.m., so around 11 p.m. You'll see her running lights passing Astoria outbound. Another ATB rig, the Dublin Sea, is heading out of Vancouver, refined petroleum there. She'll be leaving around 6 p.m., maybe midnight. You'll see her running lights going by. The New Boundary is heading out of Portland with wheat on board, leaving around 6. Another one passing Astoria around midnight. The Green Lake is another car carrier, this one heading out of Vancouver, which means she has Subarus on board. So she is leaving there around 8 p.m., maybe 2 a.m. outbound. You might see her running lights. And our final outbounder of the day, the Ecomar GO, leaving Kalama with corn, soy, or wheat on board around 11 p.m. So she's going to be traveling all night on the river. So maybe, 4 a.m., she might pass Astoria outbound and about an hour and a half later be on the Columbia River Bar heading out to sea. So they'll be starting their workday on the ocean after having been up most of the night on the river heading from an inland port. Takes a while to get out there to the ocean. Well, I put together a lot of notes from my talk in Oysterville, and I thought I'd share a little bit of it for you while I have time here on the radio. If you have a chance, as I say, to go to the Oysterville Schoolhouse at 10 o'clock, that's where I'll be talking about the Columbia. So I did a little bit of research, things I don't normally talk about, but I thought it'd be fun to share a few interesting facts. The Columbia River is 1,243 miles long. It originates in British Columbia. On the river are 14 dams. 3 of them are in Canada, 11 are in the U.S. It really makes me think about how wild and just tempestuous the Columbia must have been before it had those dams on it, because it's still a formidable, dangerous place to be. You have to approach this river with so much respect. Even when it looks calm, there's an awful lot going on out there, very dynamic. So 14 dams have kind of held it in, and still we get 7 knot currents in certain places during the ebb. So the tides can be detected as far upriver as the Bonneville Dam. That's almost 150 miles inland. And the high tide sort of surfs up the river. So it'll start high tide at Cape Disappointment, and about an hour later at Brownsmead, 2 hours at Clatskanie or so. And so ships that need extra depth will sort of surf the rising tide up to Portland. Very interesting. And I'm kind of running out of time, so I would invite you to come to Oysterville to hear the rest of what I'm going to say this morning. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great day.